Go for it.
Marcus, Triple X Hoddle or Hoddle X or XXX Hoddle. How's your trade going?
Oh, not trading, Bitcoin only. Don't see ugly boots, please. Yes. Hi, Sam. Hi, Marcus. It's a pleasure to be here with this great show. Thank you.
We're excited to have you on. Hoddle X, I think is what we decided on calling you, or Triple X Hoddle. You make some of the coolest memes and graphics in the Bitcoin space. So we're really excited to have you on.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's always nice to have a fellow memer in arms, as I like to call it. You know, we get out there, we spread the Bitcoin word with memes, take care of the shitcoiners with memes.
Yeah.
And all the way from South America, man. So there's a slight accent there, just like my accent. I'm European, but we do it anyway. So let's excited about this one, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, great.
Well, just a little intro for everyone watching. Welcome to Bitcoiner's Guide, the show that we wish we would have had when we first started learning about Bitcoin. So we made it for you. Just a timestamp and price stamp. Today is Friday, November 18th, 10:11 a.m. the Mountain Standard Time. And the current price of Bitcoin is, what is it sitting at? $16,600 and some change. So
6,000 sats per dollar.
Oh
yeah. Yep.
Cheaper sats. Yeah.
Very cheap sats for sure.
Yes. And if GBTC blows up, I've already wrote this on Twitter. I'm selling my car and I'm walking everywhere. Maybe I'll buy a bicycle.
Yeah. Good to have too.
Yeah, there's too much corn out there to not be snatching it up. You know, we see that El Salvador came out the other day and they're going to be buying one Bitcoin a day. Who knows for how long? I don't know, but maybe they're just going to do it for eternity. They're going to be buying one Bitcoin a day forever. We'll see how they do it.
Yeah. Because they're rookie good numbers, DC, man. Bukele has to pump those numbers.
Yeah. Good DCA. Yeah.
Hey, what about that GBTC, though? It's, I believe, this past week it's been trading at a 41% discount to NAV, net asset value. I'm not touching that stuff.
No, not at all. There was actually Joe Consorti came out with a really good article, or not an article, but just a tweet thread, kind of explaining what's going on with everything. GBTC, they're in a tight situation right now, and we'll see if they can make it out. The biggest owner of GBTC by large and far, which looks like they've been doing almost like a stock buyback, they just asked for an emergency $1 billion loan. So we'll see what happens there.
Why though? I don't understand, because the way I understood GBTC is that for every Bitcoin sold, obviously it's paper Bitcoin, right? Because you get an IOU. But GBTC actually does hold the Bitcoin as collateral. There's just no way of getting it out of GBTC. The way it's structured, they have it structured in such a way that they can't send out the BTC.
Exactly. So, but the where it becomes an issue is that it's people have trust or don't have trust in GBTC as a product. And so what the issue was 3AC dumped 100% of its bags, of its GBTC bags that it held. Then BlockFi dumped 100%.
So they sold it on the market. So it's been transferred to some other holder.
Exactly. So,
what
happened? Yeah, exactly. So it's like a stock, right? If 3AC is going bankrupt and then they go, boom, all of our GBTC sold. Then BlockFi is going bankrupt. And they go, oh, okay, well, all of our GBTC gone, sold. They just sell all of it. Well, then GBTC is going to have a discount to NAV. And so that's what's going on. So what happened was there's a thing called, I'm looking up right now, Digital Currency Group is the name, DCG, Digital Currency Group. They ended up buying a ton of GBTC to shore up this discount to NAV that was going on. And basically like a stock buyback. Well, the issue is that now DCG is in trouble itself. and so now that they're in trouble because of the contagion that's been going on, they just requested a $1 billion emergency loan. And so if they don't get that loan, which they probably won't with everything that's going on right now, well, then they're going to have to end up selling a lot of the GBTC that they hold because they need cash. So it's probably going to make that discount to NAV even bigger. We're probably going to see it go to 50% or more. Well, I mean, you could see an unwind.
The thing is, during a bull market, it could go back to NAV. Or even higher. Remember, during the bull market, it was trading at a premium.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, I can't predict what's going to happen to it. And it's a claim on Bitcoin. There's also fees attached, I believe 2% or something in that range a year.
Yeah.
That you lose anyway for just holding that IOU.
Yeah.
And there's no way of actually getting the Bitcoin out into self-custody. They will always custody it for you. So, yeah, you might get lucky if you buy it now and maybe it'll trade at a premium in a couple of years and you can sell it and you just doubled up on your Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But seeing what's happened in the last couple of years, and especially during this last bull market, it's like, dude, not your keys, not your coins. And there's so much weird stuff and fraud and unexpected, unpredictable stuff going on. So, I'm just going to play it safe and call me stupid or call me dumb, whatever. Let the other people try it out before in Bitcoin. I'm just holding my keys, running my node, and keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes. What were you going to say, HODLX?
I think it's the same. I think the best advice is stay humble, stay set. And absolutely. if you hold your own keys, that's the way to sleep. Yeah, sleep in your a good night of sleep. So I think we are the plebs, like we are plebs, and we don't have too much bitcoins sometimes. I think of sometimes a fraction of a bitcoin or a whole coin or 6.15 Bitcoin. And you must learn how to get your keys and the 12-4 words and this kind of stuff. And to you don't get trouble in troubles. So if you have a $1 billion or a company, the keys is something more complicated. But I think the way is always you have your own keys. But we know that is in the future we have too much. Desafios, help me, Sam. Desafios,
too many challenges.
Challenges, yes. Challenge to like when in 100 years, when everybody is gonna die,
mm-hmm.
How do you pass this to the sons or grandchildren and big companies? How can the Bitcoin traveling to the time and space with your own keys? I think this is a big challenge. to we think about it too.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, just like what you're saying, the biggest thing is, okay, you know, how do I self-custody my own Bitcoin and make it so it will last through not just my lifetime, but through the lifetime of the people who follow me, my kids, my grandchildren. And, you know, buying GBTC, there's a risk that's involved. Yeah. The risk is that the GBTC as a fund goes bankrupt and unwinds, and there's like total loss in trust, you know. And people say, oh, that can't happen, you know, all the Bitcoin's locked up. Well, that's what it seemed like, you know, people were saying that about other things like FTX, saying that about you know, BlockFi, whatever it may be. And then you give up controls. What we know as plebs and what we've learned is, look, if you give up control of your keys to your Bitcoin, then you're at risk of never having control over those keys ever again. So the simple solution is just don't give up your keys. Don't give up the control of your Bitcoin. And that makes it a lot easier. But, you know, there's a risk in buying GBTC, which people didn't think there was a risk. And people didn't think there were, you know, Rao Powell said there was no risk in buying Luna. You could go stake that for 20% risk-free is what he said, you know, basically risk-free. Well, in the bear markets, those basically risk-frees become, you know, that's when you lose all your money. So it's not worth it to give up control of your keys.
To be fair though, Rao Paul said that, not that he believed that it was risk-free, but he was willingly and knowingly shilling rat poison to unsuspecting noobs, and he was getting paid for it. So let's not confuse that.
When did he say he said that? Recently?
Of course he didn't. Of course he didn't said that like that. He's always going to play innocent Nancy. But he knew exactly what he was doing. Back in 2020 when he started the Crypto Vision.
Yeah.
It was so obvious that he started like, oh my God. And he partnered, listen to this, he partnered with Silvergate and BlockFi to bring you Crypto Vision.
Yeah.
You know, those were his two biggest sponsors. Those were the guys who set up this business model of making money from people to lend them their Bitcoin, which, you know, you cannot fractional reserve Bitcoin. You cannot, you know, if you're going to outperform Bitcoin, the only way you can outperform Bitcoin, and Caitlin Long says this best, you know, look up Caitlin Long, you cannot print more Bitcoin. So the only way to make an interest on your Bitcoin is to gamble with your Bitcoin and try to outperform it in alts. But yeah, when the market turns around, good luck with that. You get wrecked. Yeah. And this is exactly what happened. BlockFi blows up. You know, now Silvergate is in trouble. And all the people that Rao Paul told them to, you know, it's absolutely risk-free. Put your money here. They're all got wrecked. So, you know, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. You know, obviously, who am I? I'm just one somebody speculating here. But I believe that Rao Paul willingly and knowingly led people to the slaughterhouse.
That sucks. We've always known that he's been a bad actor.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's so much people that are coming into this space. You know, they're attracted by number go up and NFTs that are all of a sudden, and people saying that they're making a lot of money. And if you are there to welcome these people and get them to pump your bags and you get to dump on them, that's such a huge opportunity to make so much fiat money.
Yeah.
He couldn't pass that up. That's how simple it is. That's how I see it. But yeah, enough about Rao Paul. Let's get into it, man. You already introduced XX, triple X HODL, or how do you say it in XL in Brazil, Sean? Giselle?
Giselle
HODL. Dude, tell us a little bit about, you know, how did you get into Bitcoin memeing? What made you start memeing? What were some of the first memes you've seen? You know, what made you want it to meme, and what have been like some of your most successful memes? I know there's been a lot of them. I follow you often, and I love your memes. But yeah, how has that journey been for you?
Oh, great. I think it starts in 2020, in December. I was make some digital arts, and
Digital
then
art, yeah.
Digital art, yeah. And I see something about Bitcoin and lab stuff. I say, oh, that's great. And I start to do some artworks, always in Bitcoin. I never like touch shit coins in the art, Bitcoin art. Yeah, never, never. It's like I think is insight. And because when I first start to learn about Bitcoin, it was 2017, yeah, when I bought something Bitcoin and tried to understand something, but in an exchange and a lot of shit coins, we go here, go there, but inside I always look to Bitcoin like something else. Unique thing. It's like a difference of everything. Like I was in CoinMarketCap and see Bitcoin, and I by instinct I saw I think Bitcoin only, and the rest is like gambling. So years before after I have touched with the great sentence like there is no second best, have fun, stay poor, a lot of distance,
stay humble, stack sats.
So that stay humble, stack sats is was inside me naturally. So for me it's too easy to go to when I met Main Factory, you guys, Greg, Yellow, Labra. So I think Sweetie Tosh was a great inspiration for me. And he was the first guy I talk in the chat. He asked me something, we talk, and he sent me a banner, the orange banner, Pleb Life. So that was an impact for me in my life. When I saw this image, I say, what Pleb means? What the fuck? What is that? but inside me, something born. And I was made something artworks about Bitcoin, but I don't really understand Twitter and Bitcoin Twitter and all of the plebs. Now, then I start make some artworks to the plebs. Now, and Ivan Habstein, Ivan Habstein. You know Habstein? Habstein, I think.
Ravenstein.
Rabstein. Yeah, like a
He makes the gifts.
Yeah, like a best friend Twitter, because he starts to pick some artworks, my artworks, and animate like the gifts, the incredible, fantastic gifts. Then put like is my first friend. And Sweet Satoshi too, Sweet Tosh too. And then it starts, and then I made one art, like this is my profile, is the awakening of the pleb, like this chess piece, né? And this is like born a new culture. Like I think this Bitcoin art meme was it's like a new folk art. It's a new culture, and we are just 13 years Bitcoin, 13, 14 years next year. So it's a decade. So yeah. I think it's that you are too early, too very early in this kind of folk arts being born, and they are like agglutinating a lot of elements, like the principal, I think, is the laser eyes, man, came from Manfred, you guys, man, Manfred Factory,
yeah.
And RD, you guys, and
yeah.
The logo, the logo, the Bitcoin logo, the old Bitcoin logo, the orange color, man, the white E and the orange color. I think this kind of stuffs, the mix of this is a new culture, new kind of art that is coming to us. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that, dude. It's I think what you're actually spot on is that for some reason, you know, there's a couple of things there. Like you mentioned, you know, you look at memes and you say like, hey, what are plebs and what is this white rabbit refer to? You know, it's the rabbit hole, and you know, that signifies how once you start learning about Bitcoin, you start learning even more and you realize how little you know, and you start discovering how deep this Bitcoin story goes. And people learn through memes, you know, and that's one very cool part of it. And definitely for sure too, it's like everybody who's in Bitcoin wants to be, you know, is drawn not only to the technology, the number go up, the philosophy, wanting to end banks, but also this sense of community. You know, it's we're all a bunch of plebs. We believe in Bitcoin ushering like in a new, and we're not a cult at all. Anyway, yeah. Bitcoin being hope for the future, and you just want to be part of that, and you can express yourself by making art and by making memes and by, you know, contributing to the community. And we are so early at the same time, all this art is a reflection of how we are all looking at Bitcoin and what we think about Bitcoin and what we're feeling and what we're thinking about. And I love this idea of like how all this art may be, you know, like you said, we're in the first decade of Bitcoin, now the second decade. But, you know, maybe one day people will look back at this point in time and will look at the meme and the art, the memes and the arts that have been created in this period too, you know, as a sort of time capsule of what was going on at that time. So, yeah, I completely hear you. What do you think, Sean?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting how hearing XXX, Triple Shizel Hadl talking about the, you know, even just like the color schemes of some of the memes that we do, right? With the laser eyes, the orange, that kind of burnt orange color, or the orange color. And it just reminds me of, there was an article a while back that said, you know, that said that Bitcoin is the new Renaissance, right?
Or yeah.
And so it's just kind of interesting that there's, you know, in that time period, there was so much art that was being created, but it was also like people's minds were going through transformations too. And it seems like that's what's going on now, as each person understands just like the unfairness of fiat and the fairness that Bitcoin brings. Then it just changes you little by little. And I think that's kind of what happened in the Renaissance, is people were, one by one, they were all kind of getting changed, and they were going through this process where they were born into something, and then somehow they got to see that maybe there were better ways of living. And so it's really cool just to see how art comes about. And yeah, and sometimes, you know, we bring out some weird memes, some funny memes, some different types of memes, and then there's some really good artwork as well that's included in all of it. And so I think even HODLX, didn't Michael Saylor, hasn't he posted at least one of your graphics? I think maybe even multiple of your graphics.
Yes, he likes the art. He's a good speaker. I think Michael Saylor had a great vision, I think, about Bitcoin and the contest and everything. And I think he saw in my artwork, my arts, something to translate these ideas and something to resume like meme. The memes is like this too. In one image, in one image, you can resume a lot of philosophies, a lot of discussions, a lot of things. So he like this in my profile, this Awakening of the Pleb. He retweet this, and a lot of and other stuff too. In Instagram, he también takes some. Pick some artworks and post in Instagram too. So that's nice, and I'm glad for that. And I think Michael Saylor is like with me. He's like a pleb. He's a pleb. Yeah, he could get more stats, but he's a pleb. I think he's the spirits. I think this his spirits is like a. To education, the educational people, to awaken of the people, to people or companies, but I think his job is to promote Bitcoin, not himself. I think the Bitcoin is the most important, the better quality is to promote Bitcoin, not ourselves, né? Like people or like me. So I think when I make these artworks in my home, my wife, I never think about money. I never think about what could get more views or nothing but that. Just about to spread Bitcoin spirit, the knowledge. So I think the art, the real arts become like this fire inside, like the artists have, like Mark said about it. In the future, maybe they can saw this kind of arts for the first decade, then first second decade of Bitcoin. And they, I think they will can visualize this this pleb spirit to spread the message, not about us, but about Bitcoin. So that's great. That's interesting. Yeah,
I love that. And Michael Saylor, of course, has I don't know how much followers he has now. And I know you said you don't do it for the views, but it's always great to see when an idea catches on, whether it's through a meme or not, and reaches a wider audience, right? So I'm wondering, are you only putting up your memes and your artwork on Twitter, or do you also like try to spread it locally, like in South America where you live, or is Twitter your main platform, or do you put it anywhere else?
Yeah, the art more is in Twitter, net Twitter. Bitcoin is, I think, is the center of this whole new future adoption. This new way of I think is life, né? Life about life. Bitcoin is about life and hope and prosperity. Like I live in a third world country. When I was born, the inflation is too high. Is like is unimaginable. And then when we know something about, when get in touch about Bitcoin, and you look to the past of your family and friends and your grandmothers, grandfathers, what they passed to see the all. Work the all money that gets in whole world life, work life, is gone in 1, 2, 3, 4 years. So you see, we see Bitcoin like a a safe place, and that is very, very, very important for, I think, not just for third world country or even poor countries or rich countries. I think Bitcoin is for everyone on earth, everyone, every guy, every dude, every family is a safe place, I think. Yeah.
What makes it different for you than the dollar, right? Like, I imagine there's a lot of people that want dollars down there, and you know, and so what makes Bitcoin different than the dollar for you?
Yes, a dollar. If you, when you say here, when you say post dollar is the most attractive money for regular people, everybody. But if you see dollar, they have a central bank, they have politics, they have a lot of problems that a third world country have to, but in different degrees. But the print of money, all this kind of stuff is the same. Now we saw the great countries with inflation too, like Europe, United States, and so it's starting. So we see the inflation, this problem is going very fast, né? Very fast. This problem of inflation could get a country, and in a couple of years this could be uncontrollable. So like we passed this in third world country, we learned about Bitcoin, and there is 21 million, everything that you can print Bitcoin, né? It's a proof of work, né? Power and computing, hash rate, there is something real there, that's real. So I think it's this, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have some friends from Argentina, you know, and they go, oh, all you Americans, you're complaining about 8% inflation. And they're like, we got 8% inflation every month, you know? And and so it's funny because they're saying, yeah, you guys aren't going through anything. But then they do recognize, right? Like, okay, well, if the Argentine peso is going through 50 or 60% inflation or whatever they're going through, and then they go, okay, well, if we want to exchange our Argentine pesos for the dollar, well, that dollar is actually inflating kind of fast as well. So, you know, I think then the question is, where can you put your money in? And just like what you said, like, where is that safe place to put your money? And where can you store your wealth over time and space? And that's what Bitcoin is that safe haven. In the short term, it looks to the untrained eye like you're gambling because it's so volatile in fiat, you know. But if you just look at it in purely at the base layer of what Bitcoin is, Bitcoin's not volatile at all. Bitcoin it gets issued every 10 minutes, it gets mined, and so I think that's, you know, every 4 years there's a halving, and so it's just very programmed. The monetary issuance of Bitcoin is super programmed, and it's not volatile at all, unlike the dollar or any other fiat currency around the world.
Yeah.
It's just adoption phase, right? The adoption is a little bit volatile, I guess. You know, people get in, it's new people, some people are drawn in to speculate, and they're the ones that are running right back out the minute the market turns. So this whole adoption part of Bitcoin is but we're so early. I hate saying we're so early because we've literally been saying we're so early since day one, I guess. I mean, I've got in around 2017 too, but
you get in, you think we're late. Oh, I'm so late.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, no, we're not. We're still unbelievably early.
Unbelievable, yearly, yeah. And it's nice to when we think about the new folk culture, Bitcoin or Plaid culture, there is no name for that. Maybe like Sam or you, Marcos, or Moon Tractor or many times, I don't know, say something, this is name of the art, like a Plaid Bitcoin art or folk Bitcoin art. We don't know, we don't have a name. I think it's a Plaid art, but we are so early, we don't have no name, like Surrealism, like Surrealism, Expressionism,
yeah,
or modern art.
Yeah. There's no genre, there's no name for this
style. What are you doing? No. Yes.
The joke is I don't come from like an art background or anything, and I'm not particularly well versed in art either. And if I think about myself, what caused me to start making art, if you can even call it art, right? It's more just like an expression of humor and expression of literally like having your mind blown, you know, like you realize, whoa, this is so fascinating. Here I am, I'm catching myself thinking about Bitcoin 24/7. So you start making art because of it. And that has never happened to me before with anything. So I don't have an art background. You know, I used to like to play a little bit with like movie making and that kind of stuff, but nothing more than like some hidden away hobby. Is that the case for you too, or were you making art, or were you interested in art like before you found Bitcoin?
Yes. When I was a teenager, I always draw something. I start painting physical arts. So I friends. So I always like in my when I was teenager, I do something art about. You know about visionary arts, if you know about this word,
visionary art. Does that mean that you're looking into the future?
But I think it's more inside of us, not future. It's more about old shamans in the caves. Or in the primitive cultures, they alterate states of mind, and you can journey inside of you. You can use like in the rainforest here where we are. You can take some power plants. They call power plants. And you have a dream. You can a trip.
Yeah, and like psychedelics.
Psychedelics. And then when you come back from these trips, you have two kinds of arts. You can do like thought what was your trip crazy was, or like a profound or spiritual crazy was, and. And the words we have in English, Portuguese, Espanol, or whatever, don't have words to express what you saw, what you experienced. Then you need to try to make some art about this, like fractal art or something like this visionary. A visionary, when you alterate state of mind, you get this visionary arts. So this is one kind, and the another kind when you are on the influence of the system, you make the art in that moment too. So this is a very profound or inside contact of yourself and the mystic things about soul. Not recreative, but more like a spiritual journey. So when we study this kind of things, we saw the first principle of, I think, art, like in the early of humanity, was to show and try to to realize the world around us, the world inside us, and I think the cure for our doubts about life, death, and the mysteries of our life here in this world. So when I was doing this kind of art along these years, and then when we start to think about Bitcoin and realize Bitcoin, we come back to the same point of humanity in a million years ago, like when they are starting to experiment music, arts, caves, and start the fire. I think the moment we are living now, maybe this is a similar, different, but similar, like we are discovering like the cyberspace fire, like Bitcoin, a new kind of art and memes. When I say about art, not just art, but I think the memes is a kind of art, powerful art, and there's no distinction. My artwork is more artistic. I don't know how to say this, but the memes is from the same place. So when we start to think about this art, Bitcoin art, I think is the we are a new renaissance, a new review, but the from the early principle of humanity is like a fire, a new future, and the cure for the society, because the shaman in the his culture, he's knowing not just to advise others and do these spiritual trips. He's knowing about the cure for the society and equilibrium and this kind of stuff. I think we, the Bitcoiners, the plebs, I think carrying this message about curing the society and to tell our friends, oh, this is a good way, this is a good possible, look for this, this can save, this is hope. So this is like we are modern shaman, I think. This kind of,
or is Bitcoin the shaman, right? Like maybe the one that's taking us through this trip.
Like Fractal Encrypt is fantastic art. I mean, it's a very powerful and in the Hilo, because I am in my Fiat job, like I am an architect too. I do this kind of stuff. I'm an architect, and I do
another engineer, Marcus.
Yeah.
I don't know if Marcus is, maybe Marcus cut out for a second.
Yeah. So I'm an architect. I have this Fiat job to stack more sets. Yeah, honestly, and so when we think about a fractal, and because the building in architecture, the classical architecture, I think you saw this fractal, the gold session, and this kind of things. The Fractal Encrypt brings this in the fantastic artwork too, and it's very, very nice.
It's, I mean, the art that we're gonna see, I mean, I feel like we're just scratching the surface of the meat, the artwork that's gonna happen. And so, you know, we're gonna be able to see a lot of new things be created. And I think that's just one of the great things about Bitcoin, is it's a chance for us to create new things that maybe have never even been thought about before. So, well, I think we're getting close to the end right now, but we always do three final questions before we leave. So I wanted to start out with those questions. and that's and then we can get back to thinking more about Bitcoin. So question number one, what did you read or listen to that made you finally swallow the orange pill?
Oh, good question. I think when I saw Max, a video that Max was shouting and tried to make the guy understand what he was talking about. And he was so powerful and so deep from his heart. He said, what kind of this? And then Happy Hole is, so I think Max, this is very, very powerful for me, this moment, when I saw Max talk to...
Was it the one where he was ripping the dollar up, or was it the one where he was like sitting kind of in a classroom?
Yeah, he was sitting like, yes, and he was shouting and tried to make the guy understand what he was talking about. And I said, put the art... maybe sometimes can make by one image maybe translate all his powerful and passion, and that sometimes one art, one video, one meme, or one can resume all he's tried to do and make the same powerful way. But
Marcus, let me just see it. Marcus has been having troubles with his internet. Are you still here, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm still here, guys. I've been cutting out in and out, but I'm still here. Apologies.
Okay. Yeah. I just wasn't sure. Okay.
And I'm kind of bummed because I missed it, but you know what I got away from this is, dude, you're...
Oh, he's cutting out again. He's caught in the matrix.
How Bitcoin art communicates its messages and how it can transpose the Bitcoin message to other people through memes and through art. I absolutely love it. And what comes to mind is, like, you know, you mentioned you're not looking to make money off of this, but are you selling any art, or can people find any of your artwork, or is any of that stuff for sale, or have you made any like physical art?
Oh yeah, I have this project, future project. Because I think it is the when you are living, sometimes you have to take choose a way, and side by side, and I think Bitcoin is call me and to put my work, more work, and in this and to spread this message. And today I'm working with a fiat job to stake sets, but now I'm trying to make my artwork and make sets at the same time in the same space. I think maybe could be a 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or I don't know, but I think this moment will came. Yeah. And I'm Instagram. And now, early Instagram, I make some, because Instagram is good to view the gallery, and you saw the art. And if you look the gallery, you see this color, the orange color, the laser eyes, and everything, this kind of stuff. And you see a unity, so that's good. It's working. Yeah. And when Michael said or asked me about the art, and he sent me a message and said, "Oh, can you give me some image, some stuff?" And then I think and planning about a book, art book, future art book, like some There's No Second Path. Stay humble, stay suck. Some powerful insights and powerful praise, and an art together of this. Then this book, I'm thinking about it, and there is a lot of other stuff in Bitcoin that we are planning here. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, those type of things, more and more people are going to want them. And yeah, using Instagram as your gallery. I really like your Instagram too. I follow you on there. And so it's kind of fun to watch the graphics that you create and the images that you make. So let's keep going. We have two more questions left, and then we'll let you go. Second question of the three is, how do you see hyper Bitcoinization happening?
Oh, I think it's gonna happen sooner or later. I think we will cross a lot of valleys and hills, but I think it's gonna happen, and I think it's not just economic thing. It's very important that, because Bitcoin is money, hard money, sound money is the real and money. And I think Bitcoin is, because we have like 5,000 years of gold. And then in slavery, gold, and a lot of things. And then when now the dollar is the most wanted money in the world. And dollar have problems, like fiat have problems, like print, inflation, everything like we're talking about. So I think there is a space to Bitcoin come and substitute this 5,000 years gold to something new, something else for more 5,000 years. So I think Bitcoin is in a decade, two, three, four decades, we don't know. I hope to be alive to see this happening fully.
Yeah.
But in maybe in 100 or 1,000 years, I think we can't imagine what Bitcoin could be, like a building, like a new way of world and spiritual and humanity. So I think Bitcoin is long live Bitcoin. Yeah.
Long live Bitcoin. I agree. I think it will be amazing. You know, 1,000 years from now, when people look back and they'll point to this time period, it'll be really interesting to see all the changes and hopefully a lot of good things that have happened since the creation of Bitcoin. And hopefully, you know, we're playing our role and we're doing our job to keep spreading the message and keep spreading and getting Bitcoin into more hands. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, is getting it. Yeah. Into more people's hands, especially people who live in countries that aren't as well developed, because that would give them an extra push while Bitcoin is being monetized.
That's very interesting. It's very important point, like a Lightning Network. We saw this, the plebs works in Africa and a lot of countries for countries. And spreading the message and the sets going from here to over there and change sets. It's fantastic. This is the first beginning of everything. So the sets traveling to the space and time in the cyberspace. I think this is a new kind of universe. And it's like a digital blocks from another world, like atoms from a new world that's beginning now.
The Lightning Network is making it much easier to transfer sats, so really turning it into a currency. So okay, here's the last question. So we all really like Bitcoin. We love it. We think that hyper Bitcoinization is going to happen. But what if it's not? What do you see as the biggest threat or the biggest danger to Bitcoin?
Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. I think the most dangerous thing about Bitcoin, I think, is the humanity. love or lovely more the slavery and don't want to take the his own your own destiny. They say, oh, that's okay. I don't want to think about North. I don't want to think about freedom. I don't want to think about this kind of response. I just want to live and the government dictatorial or something. That's okay for me. For me, it's enough. I have a good, medium life and that's okay. But I think like a rose like a flower in the desert, always I think the spirits of a plebe will burn. Maybe it's everything is like Bitcoin is lost in somewhere in time or how can I say is not more around us like see, but I think that is a plague that you took a node and started everything and pick the blocks and it's going on again forever. I think there is or something like a old monasteries. They took the old books and take to a safe place to the war stops or the fire or something and. Like it's so I think there is the blocks going on forever and there is immense some plebs or some miners still mining Bitcoin and something and then Bitcoin will rise again. So I think Bitcoin is forever. Nothing can stop it.
Yeah, I
agree. And just more one thing. Yeah, I think like Satoshi Nakamoto. I think like he's or he or what he is, we don't know, we never know, I think. And this spirit is living inside every plebe, deep, deep inside every plebe. So it's, for me, it's like a mystical thing, think about the start of Bitcoin. There's nobody behind it. So I think this is like a holy spirit. Touch and will touch again forever and restart everything that's going on for the freedom of humanity and our lives.
Yeah. I mean, they say, you know, an idea is unstoppable, right? And so an idea that has come, the idea of Bitcoin is here. It's spread throughout the world. You know, it's great to see and be able to talk to you, you know, living in South America. And Marcus is from Europe, I'm from the United States, and we've talked to so many people from around the world who have this same idea, and it was given to us through Bitcoin. And so I think just the freedom in general that it makes you want to have once you understand it, you know, the idea of Bitcoin is unstoppable. But I do agree, I think a lot of people they'd rather give up the decisions to their government or to the ruling class. And so I think that's going to be part, you know, an issue with Bitcoin and something that people have to learn. And I think that's what we learned over this last week. You know, people are getting burned by holding their Bitcoin with what they thought was a trusted third party. And then they realize that you can't trust a third party and that no one's going to take care of your money better than you will. And so that is the biggest thing to learn is, you know, the freedom that Bitcoin provides is like the secret in the sauce of Bitcoin. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for Bitcoin and just to see, you know, what happens over these next few years. Obviously, we think that, you know, it's going to keep getting adopted, that the price that as it gets adopted, that'll be reflected in price, but it'll be interesting to see the attacks that are thrown at Bitcoin and see how that affects Bitcoin's price along the way.
Yeah. And I think the Twitter of the free speech and how can we spread the message, which my message is very, very important. Like no existence of manufacturing. This is incredible. This is like a very, very powerful. I think we don't imagine this kind of things, because we know Bitcoin Twitter, I think, like you said, is the center of this new future, and I think nothing can go through thousands of years or through the future without this background, like this new culture. So I think the miners mine Bitcoin, and the people run nodes, some other guys make memes and art stuff. So this is every single lad or person in this ecosystem what is very, very important to travel this idea for the new age, the new eras. So the meme factory, meme tarts, like Mark said, we are documenting this, Twitter is documenting these things, like the historical days, like when get the laser eyes, the day of the laser eyes, everything happened in 2021, the most of these things. Like Lyota chain was a fantastic day. It's from our culture, Lyota day, and there is the Ethereum fork, next fork day, and the memes to it's from our new culture. So I'm very proud to be part of this. I'm very, very proud to be here, you guys. And lovely, and I am a pleb, I'm a soldier, I'm a cyber hunter, I'm a fighter, a build second fighter, yellow prophecy. Yeah. I believe, I like it. My wife, I every time I can hear yellow, the don't stop believing.
Like, non-stop like, every day.
I think it's like he's like a priest, you know, help me say, like uma missa religiosa, como fosse uma missa, you know,
like a minister,
like a minister time for us, like the flag, not the spiritual, but culture is a time we can be together. I think Bitcoin is make us be together, more humans, and look to each other. And I think they there's something kindness about this. We are like shit coins, everything. We are tough and we screw and we. But these are like a
toxic
medicine, bad medicine. Yeah, toxic. Yeah, like a medicine. So like the shaman things, Bitcoin like shamans, like a medicine. Medicine don't need to be good. They need to be tough and work and be efficient. So I think toxic is like this way. Like is a good thing to wake up people. I think like one meme I make one image like say about shitcoiners, and because everybody has a shit coin past, or most of us. And sometime in a month when you woke up and you can realize Bitcoin or a fraction of Bitcoin could be, you never more come back again. When you enter the rabbit hole, is your eyes is open and you can see things like prosperity, wealth, freedom, all the stuff, simple stuff that make us human. And we can, in a decade, in a 100 years, I don't know, intelligence, artificial intelligence could be here. and I think we can, Bitcoin can help we stay human and we stay freedom, because in 100 years, maybe artificial intelligence could be running in the governments and be running financial system, be running everything. So I think the link of the humanity from our past and our kindness and our spiritual, I think Bitcoin could be this link to make us human and make us kind and look at each other, I think.
Wow. Dude, thank you so much for articulating your vision on Bitcoin, and much props to you for doing it in English as well. And it's come across loud and clear, dude. It's making me more proud to be part of this community and to be memeing alongside guys like you. So thank you so much for coming on and giving us your time. And I look forward to what the future is going to bring. And like you said, hopefully we get to experience a lot of it, you know. And 5,000 years, not only are we going to hyper Bitcoinization, but we're going to take over the next 5,000 years. Good stuff.
Halex, again, thanks, man. We really appreciate it that you came on the show with Bitcoiner's Guide. It's been a pleasure for us. We're just going to close out real quick. Before we do, just wanted to say, give people a handoff where they can find you. Can they find you on Twitter? What's your Twitter? What's your Instagram? Is there anything that you're building, you know, that you have a website or anything that you want to let people know about?
Oh, good. I'm Twitter, HodoXHold. There I express myself and my art. And in the Instagram is the same name, HodoXHold. And everything I post in Twitter, then I sometimes bring to Instagram. But Twitter, where you can find me, talk about it, I'm open to talk. And maybe there's two things I think we can do in the future, and the Plex can help us in this, is there's no Bitcoin museum. Maybe in 10, 20 years, there is a fractal encrypt, and there is a lot of things could be in this museum. Sooner or later, this will happen, and I hope to help with this. And that entertainment art exhibition, not just a conf Miami Conf and a lot of conference. It's very nice, it's very, very good, Bitcoin only conference. But I think in the future, we have to make art exhibition, Bitcoin art exhibition, memes, and everything it's good, a hip hop born in New York, punk rock born in New York too. Disco, everything express the human, the culture, and the moment. I think it started happening with Bitcoin too. I think it's happening many cultures and everything in this space, in the physical space too.
I love it. I agree. I think it's interesting because I actually talked to Carla and Walker, the crypto couple, down at Pacific Bitcoin Conference, and they said that they had an idea to start a Bitcoin museum. So that is interesting. Yeah. That's the second time I've heard about a Bitcoin museum in about a week. So maybe that will happen. We'll see. But yeah, again, HODLX, thank you so much, Mr. Chazelle. It's been a pleasure. Mm-hmm. For everyone else listening in, reminder, we always have the Meme Factory podcast every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. That's with everyone from the Meme Factory. Don't miss out on those. Those are awesome. We get some amazing guests, just like we have an amazing guest right now. And we joke around, we get serious, we do a little bit of everything on that. So Remember, what you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, don't just let it stay here. Please share, like, subscribe. If you found this information entertaining, you want to share it, let us, you know, let other people know about Bitcoiner's Guide. And as for Bitcoiner's Guide episode 38 from Mr. Hoddle X, Triple X Hoddle, Plan Marcus, and Big Sean, over now. Peace. Yeah.